Morning.
Me.
Hello.
Good morning. Or where you are, good afternoon, good night, good evening. Yeah, Scott, I hope you don't mind my asking. Are you new to the youth management sea?
Newer. I think I was at the last one a week or two ago. I'm
Mm.
with Mobius, the Library Consortium office in Missouri.
Oh, nice. Okay. Okay. And since I'm taking attendance, who is White K?
Hi, sorry, I'm Karen White from the Library of
Oh,
Michigan.
of course.
No worries. I need to fix that so it has my full name.
Yeah. I think that's totally fine. I mean, once you start going down the rabbit hole, you realize that you can customize a whole lot of things about your Zoom presentation. And then you can start, you can be represented and easily find your own sort of your own square that represents you in a giant swath of people by putting like a picture of a tiger, or in my case, a picture of a cat at my Zoom meeting.
Well, there's a lot of cat people in the library world, myself included, so I think you joined a big tribe there.
Oh, yes.
But maybe I could just stay a lurker better if I keep it at White K.
Well, you know what? For me, I'm just sort of like, I just I use the cat looking at the laptop photo only because it's easy to find. Like when you have a
Oh
big all
yes, you
staff
have
meeting,
faces.
I know exactly where I am.
Makes sense.
Yes. And yes, Tara, it is a cool tiger. Nice. Yes, I was also thinking that maybe it was a Japanese thing because of the eye. The tiger's eye is,
That's what I thought also.
Yeah.
I do know one cool fact about Japanese paintings of tigers is a lot of them have cat's eyes, because they
Oh.
didn't know tigers should not have like slit eyes like a cat. And so that's how you can kind of tell. It's like, this person's never seen a tiger in their life. And now that you know that, you'll go looking for it, all those woodblock prints. So.
Yes. Okay, so it's been 5 minutes. So we're five after the hour. My first question is there anybody out there today who would like to help me take notes? Who will get the gold star today? Don't all rush to volunteer at once.
I can try and take some notes. I don't know how
I
much I'll
know
be able to do this since I'll be
you're leading most of these
leading,
discussions. Yeah. Okay. You can combine your notes with mine because I
Sounds
take notes just to make sure that I'm, not lost at any given time. So we'll combine our notes when we're done. Okay, so the Amelia gets a gold star for taking notes, and she gets an extra gold star for taking notes while leading most of the discussions. Also, just sort of as a kind of a minor announcement, I will be unable to attend this meeting on the third Wednesday. So if there's anybody who can sort of round up somebody to take notes at that time, that would be grand. So, meanwhile, we'll talk about, as you see on the screen, user field protections, a modal that pops up and feature prioritization. I totally have that part wrong, but hey. So, Amelia, the floor is yours.
Great. And actually, I was just thinking maybe it'd be better to rearrange this quickly because this pop-up note question is pretty quick. So right now, when you add a note to a user record, you can choose to have that note pop up at checkout, and or in the user's app when the user's record is opened up. So at checkout when you pull up the user to check something out for them, and then in the user's app, just when you open the record. This is a relatively small feature that would just add a checkbox option to that pop-up. Here, wait, actually, this is more of a generic image. Let's see. Yes. Where is it? Kimmy put together mockups for this. I'm not sure where they are. Let me check Slack quickly. Maybe she just sent them to me and didn't post them on there. Oh, yep, here we go. Okay, here we go. So this is the mockup that Kimmy made for this feature. It would just add a checkbox here. For this session, do not show this note again. So this is helpful because right now, every time you scan a user, or every time you open the user's record up in the user's app, the notes will all pop up again. So this will let you just check this box and hide them for the rest of the time that you're logged in. My question for the group is, what should the default state for this checkbox be? My initial thought is that it makes sense to have it checked by default. Since in most cases, I don't think I would need to be seeing that note every time, but I'm curious what other folks think.
I've been thinking more about student workers. I mean, the value to a note is they're aware of something that they may want to report or know about the object that's being checked in or out. And so if it's checked by default, they won't see the message or the note, and therefore something that should be brought to their attention and go past. I assume this would be for supervisors and other higher staff who be checking in and out, not really need to know or care if there's an additional note there, they already know about it.
Scott, is that are you thinking in terms of like sort of a like this checkout screen is like for, it's just open for whichever student might use it.
Yeah, that's how a lot of our libraries work. And so if there is something that there is a note to bring it to attention, they wouldn't see it if it's checked by default. I know that they'd be annoying, but it does seem to be helpful to have the notes there, as opposed to you never see it, so something should be brought to attention isn't because the box would be checked.
Um, yeah, and I think that yeah, I think that whether or not that, if we leave it unchecked, and someone like a student worker decides that it can like they don't need to see it again. The interesting thing, in the context of in this particular note, wallet found. If it's in a place, that might get resolved quickly. I'm thinking that it wouldn't necessarily have to pop up again, but at the same time, if we're talking about like a consortia or a place with several service points, then something like wallet found, which we assume would be like an immediate resolution, something comes up and they say, "Oh wait, we found your wallet." I don't imagine. Actually, I can imagine a library patron going, "That's great. I'll come back to that later. Right now, I have to finish reading this thing about, Renaissance gouache paintings or what have you." Yeah, but Tara makes a good point that if it was checked by default, then you'd end up with missed scans. It looks like they might close with an enter key, but is that true, Amelia?
So actually, part of this ticket is being able to use the escape button to close the note, and to still use the status of the checkbox when that's pressed. So you're closing the note with the escape key, and if the pop-up note "Do not show again" box is checked, it will not show it again. Even though you didn't hit the close button, you hit escape to dismiss it. And
That sounds a little counterproductive. I mean, it seems like both of sort of the automatic standard things that we all think of as, escape is to cancel the thing, the unhighlighted option, and enter to be the highlighted option. But if they both do the same thing.
I think it's a little weird in this particular case, since the unhighlighted option is to delete the note, and that's not what hitting the escape button does in this case.
Oh, I see.
But
Right,
yeah,
because they
I
would
see what
both
you mean. The
close.
kind of intuitive thing is for escape to close it without doing anything. But that is what the comfort, like the primary button is doing here. I do think Scott's point is a good one. We've actually had some issues with students clicking through pop-up notes too quickly and having them completely miss things. So I think that is actually a really good point. And thinking about this some more, I think like if you're a staff member in the user's app and you're going between apps and opening this user's record over and over and having to dismiss the checkbox over and, or dismiss the pop-up over and over, I guess in that case, it would be a time when you would want to decide to check the box. But maybe having the default be not having it checked is safer to avoid missing notes if your student just hits escape quickly or just closes it right away, having it still be available if you scan the user again or open it back up in the user's app.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm also thinking in terms of the missed scans that Tara brought up. That, I mean, when I'm checking out books in my library, the student will check the books, they'll scan the books, and they will they'll demagnetize or whatever, and then they'll look at the screen to tell me when it's due next. So it might be that that they would turn and see the screen and realize that there was this note that was getting in the way. And maybe if we could add some kind of audio signal that, that would say that, this is not, this scan is not happening.
I guess maybe I'm not quite understanding. So when you scan the user record or the user's card, rather, and you pull them up and you get their pop-up notes. And then when you're scanning in items, it's the user note is not going to pop up again. So I'm not sure if this would get in between scanning
Well, I'm thinking
items.
that I'm sort of imagining the a student, or God forbid, a Stax employee with a big stack of books. They scan they would scan like a scan a user ID. This pops up, and they're not looking. Because, they're having a busy moment. And so they just start scanning books. And some scanners will make the noise upon a successful scan, whether it, goes to the system or not, whether it, so I could see somebody, hearing the beep of the scanner one after another, after another, after another, and then turning around and discovering that. That this user note has been here the whole time, and that the circulation, these items have not actually been checked out to the user. Am I getting close to what you're thinking about, Tara? True.
Yeah, and like the note's going to pop up the first time regardless. So if you're not paying attention, the first time you scan the user, the note's going to be there, whether or not you've selected to not show it again for the rest of the session after that.
So, like, just to make sure I understand it, if you do not have do not show for the rest of the session checked, then what happens is every time you scan a book, you see this note again, or no?
No, so this is a user's note. So this will only show up when you scan the user on the patron side of this. So scanning items, it shouldn't come up in between.
So, in what circumstance would it show the note again? Because why would you scan the user again in the same session?
So I think the main use case for this is if you're going between the user record and somewhere else. So I don't know if this is really aimed at folks at the circulation desk, but more for people like Maura was saying, someone in stacks checking out items to a like dummy user. I think really the in the user's app, when you open a user's record popping up, is where this is going to be the most helpful. Like say I was going between the user's loans page and then back to the user's main record and then going to their requests and back to the record, and every time having the notes pop up there, I think is what we're
Oh,
trying
okay.
to avoid for, yeah.
So if you unselect this note, what happens is no matter where you are in Folio, this note itself does not show again.
It won't pop up again. Yeah.
Okay.
It'll, if
Well,
you're on the user record, you can still scroll down to the accordion and view it there, but the pop-up won't happen again.
okay,
Okay,
and
so
that's
maybe this is a dumb question, but what does this session mean? Like, for instance, like your, well, end session, I guess. I was just thinking, but if you're in a user record, there's not usually an end session button that I can think of. So does it mean up until you log out of Folio and log back in, or for what duration does that mean it won't show again? Yeah, actually, session is maybe not the right word to use here because you're right. The checkout app has its own session meaning for the word session. Yeah, so I think the intention here is for the period that you are logged in, it will not continue showing this. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So if I haven't logged out and this same patron comes back to check something out an hour later, it wouldn't pop up if that box has been checked.
I believe so, yes. As long as you stayed logged in and didn't have your login timeout and have to log back in. Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. That's two votes for not checked by default. And I think I'm actually going to change my vote too. So anyone else in favor of having this defaulting to checked, or can we just say that unchecked will be the default?
I think I'm fine with unchecked being the default. A student worker might be annoyed, but if that's the worst thing that happens in their day, it won't be terrible. And I'm going to assume. And maybe we haven't, maybe this hasn't been addressed yet, but if they don't have the ability to delete the note, then that button won't come up for them. And so they basically have the option of close the thing, close the pop-up, and or click the box. And that's probably going to be the sort of thing where, if we leave it unchecked by default, then they scan a user's ID, this thing pops up. They close the pop-up, and they have to scan the ID. A few minutes later, the thing pops up again, and they hit the do not display this message again for this browser session, and and then hit close. I think there's minimal harm there.
Yeah, and in the worst case, if you do want to hide it, it's only one extra click. So, yeah.
Just confirming that that if we don't have permission to delete a note, that button is not going to show up.
Yeah.
Okay.
It that is already the case. I think
Right.
that was something that we made sure when we first implemented. Yeah. When we first implemented these pop-up notes.
Okay.
And then on this wording, because I do think that we should change that since session is a little ambiguous.
Right.
How do folks feel about login session instead of just session? Does that
Oh, yeah.
clarify enough?
That certainly clarifies it.
Yeah.
I would
Because we
understand.
have that. Yeah, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut anybody off. I should shut up and take notes anyway.
Tara, were you gonna say something?
There's a lot of background noise here. I was just saying, like, I think that most users that I work with would understand what login session means, even if that's not like the, I don't know if that's like the official, language that we use for that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll run that by Kimmy and see if there's another way that that's referred to elsewhere, but I think we can go with login session then. All right. So that's all on this, unless anyone has other questions or yeah, I guess maybe we could talk about maybe having hitting escape not follow that checkbox, but
No, that's I think that it'll I think let's see. Yeah, no. Escape, I think the functions that are here, I think they're just fine.
all right, great. Then I'll make some updates to this ticket and it's pretty much ready for development. So that's great. So now in that and that took a little longer than I expected, but I can go on to the main event here. So we talked a little bit I guess it was a couple meetings ago now, about protecting fields or entire records from being overridden by user import. And there were a few things that we didn't really get a chance to go into detail on that I was hoping we could talk about today. So the first one is just I'd like to propose that instead of having this be a single feature, we split this up into full record overwrite protection and field level overwrite protection. And then my second question is, if we do that, which is the priority for folks? I think so. The sub features on here, or the stories on here. An expiration date for how long something should be protected. I think that's something that will, I would not like to implement expiration dates on individual field level protections. I think that will get too complicated very quickly. So I think at a full record level protection, the expiration date and the reason are both things that I think make sense for the full record protection, but will add way too much if we try to do it at a field level. So I guess if we were to do field level protections that have some way of tracking which fields have been protected, like which users have fields set to be protected, so you could find them to clean them up, even though we couldn't set an expiration date necessarily. Or having starting with the full record protection, and including those expiration dates and kind of like a note essentially on why it's protected.
If I could offer a few thoughts, we came from a Sierra, excuse me, I'm sorry. We came from a Sierra system originally, and those had a small list at the top of the fields protected in the record loader. And that I think would be helpful. I think part of the perspective here is for manually updating records, but the bulk of our record loads are being updated through the API. And so it would help to have field protection there as well. For some fields we don't have overwritten, but if users were kind of like tinkering the records, they wanted to changing things on the fly, it might create a lot of problems for us when we update the records by batch. I think if there was a system that had a small note field to indicate the protected fields, and that's what we could account for with our record loading, that probably work best, but also be more clear for people manually update records.
Okay, so kind of like a multi-select of these are the fields that I want to protect on an individual record. Yeah.
Correct. Or a list saying these fields are protected. It could be a code, could just be like a small field saying name, address, and ESID are protected. And therefore, we know that these won't be overwritten in a record load.
And when you say that you update your records via the API, is that with the user import endpoint, or are you doing updates like directly through the user's endpoints?
We're doing it through the API itself. I think it's not going through the user endpoint. We're probably the only ones doing this. We have a pretty massive system that's set up for 62 libraries, and we're taking the records that they sent us in a Sierra format because a lot of them had it that way for years, convert something for Folio, and then import from the API into Folio. So it's not really going through the users. It's actually at the system level we're doing it. If I'm understanding it correctly, of course.
So you're using, but I guess like at the system level, like which API endpoint is that script that you have using?
Just a
Do you
second, let
know?
me check with my coworkers. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I think mod user import is a thing of the past.
Yeah, it is. And so that's kind of one of the tricky things here is, okay, you are using mod user import.
That's
Great.
correct.
So yeah, so this feature is targeted at mod user import, and not the normal users update endpoints. Because those endpoints are what are also used by the front end to when you're in the UI updating records. So if we were protecting fields there, I mean, I guess that is something that we could do. But yeah, I think that the main goal for this feature is to protect from mod user import. And actually a question that I had for a little later was, do we want this to protect from the bulk edit app changing the fields as well? Because I guess that will probably need to be done as a separate feature, but is it something that is desired to have protections apply to the bulk edit app changing records as well? So yeah, let's go back, I think, for now to my original question about splitting this. So it sounded like Scott, you would prefer the field level protections, so being able to select individual fields as opposed to a full record protection. How about other folks? Is there one over the other that you'd prefer? And then I guess do we really need both? Is another question. Do we need to develop both of these, or would one or the other work best, and then we can just go with that?
Well, I'm looking back on the my notes on the individual UIU tickets. It looks like, if we're looking at something that is field related, I'm thinking of 552 and 553, possibly 534. I'm not sure, but my notes are not the best, but the what it looks like is that if we want individual fields to be protected, that is super complicated, and that if we're just doing the whole record, it's not as bad. And I have a feeling that we would be opening an entire can of worms if we started getting into individual fields in the records to be protected from being overwritten. Would I
Yeah,
be, yeah?
that's kind of how I'm leaning. Another thought that I have is we could, if we just go with a full record level protection, I think it would still be useful for a lot of folks to be able to have blanket field protection for all users. Let's say the barcode field can't get updated. So having like a tenant level setting for all user records saying that these individual fields should be protected, but then if you want to do something to protect an individual record, just protecting the whole record. Would that work for folks?
I think that would work for me. I mean, I was the person who brought up the initial protect something from being overwritten, years ago, because we had people who showed up as inactive in our system thanks to various problems with, government student loans and that sort of thing. They couldn't work to kind of make payments so that they could keep going to school. Which kept them, in default, and so it was sort of this vicious cycle. And what we would do in our previous system was just, sort of mark them as protected, so that every day's user import or user load would not mark them as inactive again. In that case, we were talking about people who they worked here. They were more than happy to put up with whatever other inconvenience that might come with the rest of their user record being unchanged, if they could keep working. So, I'm not sure if there is a if there is a case for protecting an individual field in a user record. And I could be totally wrong about that, but But yeah, I think that, in terms of this, I'm not certain if protecting individual fields from being overwritten, I don't know if it's worth the initial outlay of resources. And, the thing is that if we have it and it's possible, somebody's going to want to try it out. And then suddenly you have a very complicated workflow for something that might not necessarily be completely helpful. My two cents.
Does anyone have a use case for protecting an individual field and not protecting the whole record? Is there a case where that would be necessary, that you don't protect the full record? Okay. That sounds a little like a no.
Yeah, you might want to, I mean, you can we can put it in the notes that we're going to sort of like we're going to abandon the whole protecting individual fields and maybe just and we'll say that's what we've decided. And then, put that leg in Slack to see if anybody objects. We have made this change in, our priorities. And then see if we get another, see if we get another opinion. And yes, Tara, I was thinking the same thing, maybe preferred name, or pronouns.
Or,
But yeah.
oh, sorry. You finish your thought first.
I was just thinking that, the preferred name, it might be overwritten. But I think if that's the right, that's true. It does sometimes happen when the library and the university or the source of truth with user records disagree on how a preferred name should be handled. So that's a possibility, but I can't think of anything else.
And I think like something like preferred name or pronouns, I think those are good candidates for a tenant level protection for that field, right? Because
Yeah.
if you're using that field on multiple records, you probably don't want your staff to have to, okay, I'm adding the pronouns to this record. Now I have to check this box every time. So maybe the tenant level would cover that, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
And that would be like in settings somewhere.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm thinking to going forward from here, I'm going to clean up these tickets to remove references to individual field level protections. And then I'm going to look around. I could have sworn there was an existing tenant level field protection ticket somewhere. I sort of remember that coming up years ago. So I'll see if I can find that and clean it up or create a fresh one.
Right.
And then we can go from there. I do think that having expiration dates are still, it's still a good idea. And notes as well. I think both of those are helpful just to know, okay, maybe we're ready to remove this protection because whatever reason for it being protected is no longer relevant.
Right.
And I also think part of this this need to track fields that are protected. So obviously for this the settings, the tenant level, that's easy. You just go to the settings. And I'm thinking just a search facet that pulls up records with that protect this record from user load box checked. So you can
Wow.
easily pull them up.
Yeah.
And we can probably talk about that a little more once I've got the tickets written up and we can start thinking about where we want these to display on the user record, and how we want that to look. But it sounds good for now. Let me
Yeah.
just check my notes and see if there was anything else that I wanted to ask. Oh yes, for bulk edit, this was my other question. So if I select protect this record from like being overwritten by user import or however we phrase that box, do we want that to also protect from if I'm in the doing some bulk change in Bulk Edit app and want to update that record, we could have it make the update fail and it would show up in the list of errors. I think this is also a question for the Bulk Edit working group, but I'd like to get a sense for if that's something that folks would want before I go and bring it up there, that group.
Yeah, that seems highly intuitive to me. That seems like because it's not necessarily an error, it's just that this was not overwritten. And if we get, a nice little thing in the error log that says why, then we can realize that it's, then we can know that it's not an error per se. It's not a problem with the record. It's designed that way, We meant for this user not to be overwritten.
Yeah, and there's even, I think there's even potential if we have that adding a reason why it's protected. I think there's a good chance that we could get that to show up in the bulk edit error message of
Nice.
record protected from updates, and then staff reason or whatever, however we name that. Okay, yeah. Great. Then once I get these tickets reworked, I'll pop over to the bulk edit working group, or maybe I'll just start with a Slack message to them and
Yeah.
see, get a temperature check from them. But great.
Cool.
Awesome. So we've got about 10 minutes left. The last thing that I wanted to talk about was our gap list, and how we want to handle it moving forward. So right now, we kind of just have a big table of things that folks want to talk about. I have them marked for whether they need to be discussed or if they're waiting on being discussed. And so it's very manual. And we have this column for endorsements of we want this feature. But I've seen in other groups, they've started to use the Jira votes feature functionality, where if you're on a feature, you can give it a vote to indicate that it's something that you would like. I think ideally it would only be one person from each institution voting on their needs. But I think this might be a better way for us to kind of naturally surface things that folks are interested in without needing to, read through all of these and decide if you want to put your name on it. Like when you're looking at the ticket, you can just say, all right, this is something we want. And then that can be how we decide what to talk about in our meetings. So yeah, and right now this is just a filter. I think it's all open or draft user management features. And some of these are very, very small or actually parts of other features that maybe shouldn't be coming up on this list, but
Can these be, can this list be sorted?
yes, yeah, here actually. Person. Yes, so right now I have it sorted by votes. But you can sort it by anything, the set priority on Jira. I can also change which columns display here. Right now I'm just kind of imitating what we have above. But I'm kind of wondering if there is a notes field or something that we could use to surface this kind of like simple overview of what the ticket is about, other than just the name, or like a comment about our last discussion on it. But that's something I can look into afterwards if we do decide to go with this. Yeah, how do folks feel about moving to this system instead of our big manual table?
I'd be in favor of it.
I'd be okay with it. Looks like Tara's giving us the thumbs up.
Oh yeah, and you can actually see that this is a bulk edit ticket. So it's not something we would, well, I guess we would probably discuss it, but wouldn't be only determined by decisions in our group. Okay, so I'm gonna see if I can refine this filter a little bit, and look for a field that we could use for a most recent note or quick overview kind of field. And then yeah, we can start using this, and then if folks could, when you have a minute, go through and look at a few of these. See if it's something that your institution wants and add some votes, and then we'll have stuff to discuss at future meetings.
Excellent. Actually, Amelia, the I have not gone to product council and given them our top five priorities. Would the vote system here surface our top five priorities, do you think?
I think, yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too, was I remembered you've been asking about that. And seems like a good way to get more votes without too much work for everyone. Okay. So homework assignment, everyone. See if you can look at a couple tickets, decide if you want to give it a thumbs up from your institution. Yeah, that's all I had for the week.
I think that's an excellent place to come to a stop. We've got a lot of things to think about and look at. So let us call it a meeting. Yeah, there's a lot of notes. So so we'll meet again in 2 weeks. And in the meantime, if you look at those JIRA tickets, that would be lovely.
Thanks, everyone.
Great. Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Bye.
Have a good day. Bye.
You too.